In John chapter 9, we read about a man that Jesus healed. You remember that Jesus healed this blind man, and when he healed this blind man, others began to talk about it. Others began to question how this individual received his sight. And then the Pharisees are going to want to know how this man received his sight, and so they're going to come and they're going to talk with him, and he's going to answer in John 9 verse 11, a man that is called Jesus. He told me to go and wash in Siloam and I received my sight. You'll notice that Jesus healed this blind man that on the Sabbath day, and that made the Pharisees even more upset at the situation. And so his answer wasn't good enough, and so the Pharisees are going to question his parents. And his parents were afraid to give answer. They were afraid to say the truth, and so they're going to call this blind man a second time, and they're going to interrogate him. They're going to question him, and he affirms again that Jesus Christ is the one that healed him, that gave him his physical sight. Well, in John chapter 9, around verse number 30 through 31, we see verse 34 that they would cast him out. And after he was cast out, Jesus is going to find him, and Jesus is going to say in verse number 35, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Well, as we think about this wonderful miracle that Jesus performed, that Jesus worked, we see the bigger picture at the end, don't we? Jesus Christ came to this world to give us spiritual perception, to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to the light through the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 26, verse number 18. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about spiritual perception. And as we focus in on spiritual perception this morning, we're not going to necessarily talk about the process of spiritual perception. I do believe that there is a process, and that process can be found in 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse number 5, going down through verse number 13. And if you look at that process, you'll see that there are things that we're to add to our faith. Things like virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. And you look at the context carefully, Peter says that if we're not adding these things to our faith, we can become blind. And we can lose that spiritual perception, that focus. And we can even get to the point that we can forget that we've been purged from our past sins. That's the process. What I want to talk to you about this morning as it relates to spiritual perception is the benefits. The benefits of spiritual perception. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse number 18, David says these words, "Open thou my eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." That's what we want to focus on this morning. The benefits of spiritual perception. Lord, open my eyes that I might see things from a spiritual advantage point that I find in Your Word. Spiritual perception. Now as you stop it and as you think about Psalm 119 verse number 18, a passage that I've often quoted, a passage that I really like, right here in this section, we see the benefits. And I've read through this before, but I've never related it to spiritual perception. But as we relate verse 17 down through verse number 24, those eight verses, that section, remember as you're looking at Psalm 119, you're looking at what is known as an alphabetical psalm or an acrostic psalm. You'll notice that each section has eight verses. It follows the Hebrew alphabet. Many scholars believe that this was arranged to help the Jews memorize Psalm 119 as they would sing it. And that's why it follows the Hebrew alphabet. But as we are looking at this section, this whole section has to do with spiritual perception, and I believe the benefits that we receive through spiritual perception. Let's look at these benefits. Go back to verse number 17. David says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." We see in verse number 17 that there is life after death. That is one benefit of spiritual perception. When our eyes are open by studying and learning God's word, we will see that there is life after death. So many people in this world believe that this life is it. That is all that there is to life. And yet when we turn to God's Word, and when we open God's Word, and when we allow God's Word to give us that spiritual perception, we learn in 1 John 5, verse number 11, that God sent His Son into the world to bring us eternal life. There is life after death. And that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel prepares us for eternal life. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and you may want to mark your spot there in Psalm 119. But turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're turning over to 1 Corinthians 15, you know that 1 Corinthians 15 has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, listen to what Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. If the only hope that we have was just in this life, if it was just this life and that is it, Paul says we of all people would be most miserable. Well, the good news is there is life after death. But not everybody is going to see that. That again, that comes through spiritual perception. And through spiritual perception, we long for eternal life. It's something that we look forward to. Look, if you would, at the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the physical, the outward man that is perishing day by day. But the inward man is renewed. Notice this. The inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. But the inward man is renewing. And then Paul drops down to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, and Paul really then talks about what we're focusing on this morning. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, listen to it, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is in heaven. If so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for ourselves, same thing as God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, the physical, we are absent from the Lord, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's the hope that we have of eternal life. To be present with the Lord. And again, that only comes through spiritual perception. Yet when I study the Scriptures, when I read people about the rich man and Lazarus, when I read about individuals like the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, they missed it. And so many, like Solomon, they're trying to pursue happiness and all of the wrong things. But when we turn to God's Word, when we open the Word of God, we will see the benefits of spiritual perception. And one of the benefits that we see is that there's life after death. Long ago, Job asked the question in Job 14, verse 4, if a man die, will he live again? Yes, he will live again. And because of Jesus Christ, we can live with the Lord and we can be with the Lord in heaven. That's the hope that we have as Christians. And that's the first benefit that we see through spiritual perception. There is life after death. But if we go back to Psalm 119, we're going to just list out these benefits for time's sake. We're not going to be able to really break this down in great detail, but I do want you to see the benefits. Look at verse number 19. As we look at verse number 19, we see that through spiritual perception, that we are sojourners. This world is not our home. Verse number 19, the psalmist says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. We are sojourners. The benefit is, again, we have an eternal home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship, Philippians 3, verse number 20, is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. That's where our loyalty is. It's in heaven. And as we sojourn here upon this earth, the Apostle Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 1, verse number 17. Pass your sojourn here in fear. Notice that. Pass your time here upon this earth in fear. One of the most interesting words that I find in the New Testament is this particular word, fear. For example, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 19, we read about the generation that wasn't allowed into the promised land. In Hebrews 3, verse 19, they were not allowed to enter the promised land because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1, you know what the writer then says? Let us, therefore, fear. We need to fear missing heaven. Again, that will only come through spiritual perception. Heaven is something that we truly need to be focused on. And as I think about my life here upon this earth, we're strangers, we're pilgrims, I'm reminded that this world is not my home. In Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus said, what shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his eternal soul? He has absolutely gained nothing and he's made the worst deal in his life. Psalm 119, verse number 19, reminds me that I'm a sojourner. And as I pass my time here on this earth, I do so with great fear, great respect for my God. As I pass my time here on this earth, I do so with a sober reverence and a holy desire to please my God. If you want a good definition of the proper fear that we are to cultivate in our lives, there it is, a sober reverence and a holy desire to please God. Remember what Peter says, pass the time of your sojourn in fear. How do we do that? Go back to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 15. And you'll see that Peter is encouraging us to gather up the loins of our mind, to think on a spiritual level, to be sober, to be holy, set apart from this world, set apart for God's service. Again, that holy desire and sober reverence to please our great God in all that we do. That's how we pass the time of our sojourn here on this earth. We do so in fear of God. And you know what? We wouldn't see that with the literal eyes, because we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. But through spiritual perception, we see again that we're sojourners, and the benefit is this old world is not our home. You know what the Bible says about this world in 1 Peter chapter 3? When the Lord comes again, everything that we see physically speaking, everything in this world is going to be burned up. And so we shouldn't put our faith and trust in things of this life. We need to put our faith, our trust in God that comes through spiritual perception. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, as we look at verse number 20, we see a third benefit that we gain through spiritual perception. Look at verse number 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. When I study God's Word, I encourage people to look at different translations. You'll notice that I'm studying or reading from the King James Version. If you were to look at different translations, this word judgment can translate to rules. God's judgment, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, God's rules. These rules, these judgments are referring to God's Word. Now, with that in mind, as I think about verse number 20, my soul breaketh. Again, the King James, another translation, my soul longeth. What is the psalmist longing for? The psalmist is longing for the Word of God. But why? Why is the psalmist longing for the Word of God, God's judgments, God's rules, God's Word? Well, the psalmist recognizes that as he is going through life, that God's Word is like a road map. God's Word is leading him and guiding him. As the psalmist would later on declare in Psalm 119, 105, Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The psalmist is longing for the Word of God, welcoming God's Word into his life because he knows that he benefits from that. That God's Word helps him along the way. Listen, if it wasn't for the Word of God, we truly would be miserable. You stop and think about the benefits that we receive from God's Word and the help, the strength, the encouragement that we find in God's Word. In Acts 20, verse number 32, as Paul is speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he says, I commend you to God's Word and the Word of His grace, listen to it, which is able to build you up. That's why we should long after God's Word. It builds us up. We just talked about the outward man. We know it's perishing. But Paul says the inward man, the spiritual person, is renewed day by day. How is the spiritual person renewed day by day? Is there something that miraculous that happens to us where we are renewed, spiritually speaking, day by day? Absolutely not. You realize that this renewal that we're emphasizing, that we're talking about, comes through the Word of God? And all you have to do is do a word study and just focus on words like renewal and allow God to speak to you through His Word, because we learn in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10, that we are renewed. Same word that you see in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16. We are renewed through knowledge. Knowledge. And so as we stop and think about renewal, we see that God's Word is our spiritual food. And as we feast upon our spiritual food, we are built up. We are renewed. The psalmist is longing for the Word of God because the Word helped him. The Word strengthened him. Oh, ultimately, when we stop and think about the very nature of God's Word, when we receive with meekness the engrafted Word, James 1 verse 21, it will save our soul through spiritual perception. I love it. We'll long for it. We'll desire it. We'll literally fall in love with God's Word, and we'll have an appetite for the Word of God, an appetite for spiritual things, and we'll be happy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5, verse number 6. These are benefits. These are things that we gain through spiritual perception. When we allow God through His Word to open our eyes, we're going to long for that Word because it helps us, it strengthens us, it encourages us. Oh, here's another one. It warns us. Do you realize that as you study God's Word over and over again, it provides those warnings? Don't enter. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. That's the warnings that we find in God's Word. So many, as they look at their life, they're at the crossroads. They're thinking about God, but the old world is pulling them into the world. And yet we find a warning in Proverbs 13, verse number 15, concerning that broad path that leads to destruction. The way of the transgressor is hard. You want to think about living a sinful life? You want to think about living life without God, without allowing God to guide you, without the rules? You're going to have utter confusion and chaos. The way of the transgressor is hard. And all you have to do is stop. And you look at people who've denied God. You look at people who've lived in sin. And you can tell by the way they live, by the way they look a lot of times. They lived a hard life. You look at a person who's done drugs most of their life. You look at a person who's been sipping on the bottle all of his life. You'll see it in their physical appearance. The way of the transgressor is hard. Do we appreciate the warnings? Do we welcome those warnings that we find in God's Word? You know, really, God warns us in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, that if we obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be utterly lost. And we will receive His wrath. He will pour out His wrath upon us. Why is God warning us of that? Because He loves us. And because what He wants more than anything is for us to be saved. I'm convinced most of the people in the world, they don't understand God. They believe that God is just looking forward to that day where God can pour out His wrath upon them. But that is so far from what we find in God's Word. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And He goes on to say that what He wants more than anything is for the wicked to turn from their evil ways. You see, for what is good and acceptable in the sight of God is to have all men to be saved by coming to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4. Through spiritual perception, we'll long for the Word of God. We'll want to follow the Word of God because ultimately it will save our soul. Then look at verse number 21. Another benefit of spiritual perception. Spiritual perception leads, look at verse number 21, to humility. Spiritual perception leads to humility. Thou hast rebuked or thou hast corrected the proud, that they are cursed which do err, some translations, which do wonder from thy commandments. Well, listen, if we're welcoming God's Word into our lives and if we're allowing it to guide us and to build us up, we're not going to wander away from it. We're going to study it. We're going to meditate upon it day and night like the psalmist is doing as we read at the end of this section. But I want to highlight the first part of verse number 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud. Through spiritual perception, we understand that the Lord wants us to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5, verse number 5. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, Peter reminds us why we need to be clothed with humility. Because God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to those who humble themselves. That's why humility is so important. That's why we need to be clothed with humility. The Lord hates pride. The Lord hates arrogancy. Because those who are prideful and arrogant, they think more highly of themselves than the way that they should. And it's pride that keeps us from recognizing our need for God. It is pride that keeps us from confessing our sins before God. Confessing our sins before one another. Solomon put it like this in Proverbs 16, verse number 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 3 in the Beatitudes, which teaches us how to be the ideal follower of Jesus Christ, begins with what we're talking about, humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we will only see that through spiritual perception, because I promise you, that's not how the world thinks. You stop and think about how the world exalts the opposite of what God says. God promotes, He exalts humility. Humility is something that we must be clothed with, like Jesus, who humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, 8 through 10. Through spiritual perception, we will see the benefit of humility. Taking ourselves out of the picture and replacing it with Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm convinced if we're ever going to be a servant of God, if we're ever going to learn to serve one another, it's going to be through humility. Well, as we continue to look at this beautiful psalm recorded here, in verse 22 through verse number 23, notice the last point of our lesson. And this is one that I believe is practical in so many ways. You may not see it as you read through it the first time, but as you stop and key in on certain verses, like for example, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I, listen to it, I have kept thy testimonies. And then verse 23 to me is key to really understanding this point that we're about to make. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, and thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. So here's the point. Through spiritual perception, we learn to cope, or maybe we learn to deal with unjust criticism. Through spiritual perception, God teaches us how to deal with unjust criticism. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to share this with you very quickly because what Peter says here sheds so much light on what we're seeing here in Proverbs 1:19. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice with me verse number 12. Peter is encouraging Christians to have their conduct honest among the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles represents the heathen world from this context. Have your conduct honest among those that are in the world. That whereas, listen to it, they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. You live in such a way, Peter says, that you cause your unjust or your critics to change their life by your kindness, by your goodness, that they come to the point that they glorify God. Well, how in the world are we ever going to bring an individual who's criticizing us, who's trying to speak evil against us to that point that they're glorifying God? Well, the only way that a person can glorify God is in Christ Jesus. But Peter is saying, by your response, by the way you respond to opposition, you can attract others to the gospel. In fact, drop down to verse number 15. For so is the will of God, now listen to this, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance and foolish men. You see what Peter is saying here in verse number 15? You can silence your critics. You can silence unjust criticism by the way you respond, by your good works, by the way that you live your life. You stop and you think about what Jesus is saying here, or how Jesus lived His life. Later on in verse 21, we see that He was reviled. He was persecuted, but He never retaliated. We learn in Romans 12, verse number 17, we are to never retaliate. Vengeance belongs to God. We're encouraged to overcome evil by good. And so we see that one of the benefits of spiritual perception is that we learn to deal with opposition. We learn to deal with unjust criticism. Again, I encourage you to read the Beatitudes because Jesus even talks about this in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil falsely for my sake. It's going to happen. You look at the apostles. You look at the first century brethren. Most or plenty in the world were speaking of Christians as evildoers. David is longing to deal with unjust criticism. David realized that people were going to say all kinds of evil against him, but it wouldn't stick. And you know why? Because David was following the Word of God. People were saying all these evil things about him, but it wasn't true because he followed God and because he was faithful. The benefits of spiritual perception. As we think about those benefits of spiritual perception, we can see from our study this morning, when we allow God through His Word to open our eyes, we will see the true meaning of life. We will see the true meaning of life. And we will see that the best life that we can live is the Christian life. And the Christian life prepares us for eternal life. There's pure spiritual perception. We will see that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're sojourners. And as we live here upon this earth, we do so in fear of God, of great respect for our Master, for our God. And through spiritual perception, we will crave the Word of God. We will feast upon it day and night as it continues to build us up in the most holy faith. And as we open our eyes spiritually speaking, we will see that there is no room for pride. There is no room for haughtiness. We'll clothe ourselves with humility. And through spiritual perception, God will teach us how to deal with opposition that we will all face. We ought to be thankful that God has given us His Word. We ought to be thankful that our eyes can be opened through His Word. And when our eyes are open, when we see things on a spiritual level, we see the benefits of becoming a Christian. Remember John 9? Jesus had the power to give that man physical sight. Jesus Christ has the power to give us spiritual sight by obeying the gospel, by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of our sins, confessing the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. When we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1, verse 5. We become that new person. That person like the blind man that wants to follow Jesus the rest of his life. Are you following Jesus? If not, why don't you make that determination this morning to follow Him by obeying the gospel? And if you are a Christian, let me encourage you to continue to study God's Word as you gain spiritual insight in how to live life here upon this earth. This morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we